Welcome to Telling Sports Ministry. We thank you for tuning in to our Sunday broadcast with Pastor Philip Moses. As you listen to today's message, may it refresh and revive your spirit and connect you to your purpose. Now introducing Pastor Philip Moses.
It's relationship from the beginning to the end of the Bible, the relationships of how we relate to God, how the believer would even relate to fellow Christians. Amen. We struggle with that. Look around the room, and some of us probably got some alt and some hate in our heart right now, but some folks sitting in this room. Amen. Amen. I give many amens. I praise God for that. And it's interesting, not only that, but the Bible talks about believers' relationships with non-believers. Amen. And how we should understand that God is calling us into relationships. And it's the most important thing that the believer can experience, is healthy and great relationships. So we're going to talk about that this month. And I'm going to kind of lend myself out and open myself up. And we'll talk about our relationship and, you know, one of the, my relationship, my kids, with the members. We're going to talk about even with non-believers, folks that that don't know the Lord. And sometimes it's easier to like folks who don't know the Lord than it is folks that know the Lord. And we're going to talk about all that. I don't all went off on a tangent. I'm going to digress a little bit. But God is speaking to the believer just about relationships. So today I wanted to kind of explore probably the most important relationship, and that's our relationship to God. Amen? You know, in this world where it's the physical world that we live in, we touch and feel things, you know, in this tangible world, most of us lose sight that the relationship with God, because we can't see Him, is more real than the relationship that I earned with. So sometimes we put more emphasis in our relationship with others, with earthly, you know, these earthly relationships than we do with God. How many people know, until you get your heavenly relationship right, this earthly stuff won't work anyway? Amen. I appreciate them two or three amens I got on that. But it requires the believer to understand we've got to have a vertical relationship, and then they talk about the horizontal working. So today we're going to work on the vertical relationship. We're going to work on the relationship that we need to have with God. Amen. I don't think I'm going to be long today, and I know even those who are listening by way of broadcast, I know they're going to enjoy this because it won't be long, man. We're coming from a very familiar scripture. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to try to break this down so you can understand it the way God gave it to me. Amen? So there's a couple of things that I want to talk about. I'm coming from Matthew 22 and 37. So if you're there, I'm going to read it again. I know you guys have already read it, but I want to read it myself. It says, Jesus said unto him, amen. And I'm going to go back and get some history about who this him is. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, he says, and with all thy mind. So today I want to kind of break that down and go into the engine because of relationship, because I believe that this is the most important relationship we can have. And Jesus here is giving an example of how serious the relationship with God is, should be. Amen. So he said it this way. He said, Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord God thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I'm going to sneak peek a little bit. I'm going to 38 to let you know that this is very important. This is the first and great commandment. In other words, this is the most important commandment in the Word of God. This is the most important thing God said to his people according to the Word of God, that we must have a relationship with God first.
Amen.
How many of us understand this having a relationship with God? We're going to talk about that. You guys are looking at me like, I got this message. Oh, I love the Lord. Well, how come you can't love all the whole thing? Because that relationship with God is not healthy. I'm going to show you why. Don't throw stuff at me yet. Let me finish. And Jesus said unto him, now I've got to do a little history, because this him represents the very, the church in that day. But these were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Herodians. And these guys that all emerged, you remember between Malachi and Matthew, there were 400 years of silence. Well, during that time, these groups had emerged called the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the scribes. And all these guys were doctors in the law. These guys knew the word of God, Old Testament, like the back of their hand. And it's so interesting when Jesus shows up, as much as they knew the word of God, they couldn't recognize God. And so true, because today I believe we have the same issue with our relationship with God. We don't understand who He is. Amen. I got to really lay it down hard. Amen. So he begins to talk to this him who is this lawyer. This guy was a Pharisee. This guy was a scientist in the law. He was trying to trip Jesus up and make him say some stuff so he would literally blaspheme the God that who he said he was. So they ask him this question. I believe that this is a question that the believer today needs to ask themselves. I think this is a constant, this should be a constant question that you ask yourself. And that is, what is the greatest command? What is God looking for most in my life? What is the greatest thing I can produce for God? Amen. And he begins to talk about it in verse 37. He begins to talk about this love thing. But he didn't say love of the folk first. He said, you need to learn how to love people. You know what the scripture says? And Jesus said to him, this old nasty, no good for nothing, church going, you know, at that time we're called not holy roller, had no relationship with God, but understood absolutely nothing about the fact that we could literally do the duty, we could be religious and have no relationship. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So he began to say to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He said, I'm going to stop there because I want to deal with thou shalt love the Lord thy God. I believe that there are three things that tear out of this first phrase, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. The first thing I extract is, and you can write this down because you know it's going to be alliteration. The first word I want you to write down is first. He said, you should love the Lord thy God. What he's saying is, he must be personal first. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order to call on your God. He's got to be your God. And I'm asking you right now, is he personal to you? Well, if he's not, how can I make him personal? Well, most of my personal friends I spend a whole bunch of time to communicate. If they're not personal friends, we don't do too much talking.
Come on.
All right. So if I'm going to make a friend personal, it requires now that I have open, constant communication with that friend. How about in terms of God? If I'm going to make him personal to me, I got to have a real regular kind of conversation, relationship with him. For us, that's prayer. Let me say something about prayer. I've said this before, but we're broadcasting and we're streaming now, and my streaming audience never heard of this. But it's so interesting to me, in our prayer time, we talk about us getting on our knees and doing the talking, and us literally telling God all we want. In a conversation that's personal, that is two-way. Not only should the person that you're talking to, or not only should you talk, but the person you're talking to should have some time to talk to. Isn't it amazing? We get on our knees, we do all the talking. Hours sometimes, some of us. Just long ones. We do all this talking. Get up all our knees, dust them off, and walk away. And the one who's the smartest in the conversation, which is God, do you get a chance to say a word to you? I believe that prayer requires that there be two-way conversation. That we not only talk, but he talks. Now let me ask you this. That means when I get on my knees, am I going to hear God? I heard your prayer. Now, go into the world. You won't hear that. You know how God speaks to me, and how he'll speak to you every time? Open the door! Speaks within his word. He's speaking constantly, and people say, God. I don't know what God ain't saying nothing to me. Well, open the book.
That's right.
Crack open the book and let's see if God wants to say something to me. And I guarantee you, he's got some things he wants to say. There's another guarantee I got. You probably ain't gonna like what he's got to say. Because he's gonna be telling you things that literally go against your fleshly self.
Right.
Most of the time, what God said me to do is shut up, sit down somewhere, and learn. That's good news right there for me. He wanted me to get somewhere where I could hear his voice. So as we talk about this phrase, love the Lord thy God, I believe that first it's got to be personal. And the way we develop that personal relationship with God is we got to communicate. We got to have a substantial prayer life. Prayer life that means something. Not just praying what right before you about to eat something. Most of us got a dynamite prayer life before we about to eat. I mean, it's quick and to the point. And I'm telling you, it's really, really meaningful. But we don't have an ounce of relationship with God. Amen. So I see that in that scripture. He says, thou shalt love thy God. The other thing I see in that is this word, proposition. Proposition. I think there's a proposition. I think there's something God wants to say in the verse of scripture, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And that's the question or the statement, or however you want to put it, this proposition, how do I love the Lord? How do I love the Lord? That's loaded because that love is the Greek word agape. And what God is wanting us to do is learn how to agape him. And agape to me is this unconditional love. This love that comes from above. It's literally a love that we got to learn. I think it takes a lifetime to learn how to agape God. It's an ongoing thing. It's not like we do a human relationship. We date somebody for one day and say we love them. With God, that's an agape. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute. Let me not jump ahead of myself. But I believe that's a mouthful to agape God. I believe, though, in the scripture, he tells us how to love. Amen. And this is the scripture I want you to turn to. Real quick, I want you to turn your Bibles to, I think it's John. You there? John 14:21. As soon as you get there, say amen. Because I want to read this, because I believe this begins to talk about the proposition. The proposition of how do I love God? Well, I think the scripture gives us, it literally gives us the definition and explanation on how to love God. He says, you there? Amen. He that hath my commandments, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. Listen to me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. Listen to me. And I will love him and will manifest myself to power. That's so good to me. That God wants to manifest himself to those who love him. Now, how do I love God? There were two things, I think, in that scripture that I want to talk about. The two words that I want to talk about is ownership and obedience. Look what he says here. He says, he that hath, you can underline that in your Bible and pencil. This word hath is to have possession of or to own. I love this. To love God, I got to own his commandments. I got to own the word. How do you own something? Let me see, because this is the year of exponential growth. We got to learn ownership, not loanership. We got to stop being loners. We got to start being owners, amen? And I'm speaking to the broader church now. We've got to own. The first thing God told Abraham when he left, go possess the land. Go own it. Amen. I'm speaking now. Nobody's giving me too many amen. But this is the season of exponential growth where we can start to own stuff and stop loaning. Be loaners, amen? So he says, he that hath my commandment. God wants us to own it. How do you own anything? Well, I asked God that question. How can I own the word? He said, the way you own anything, you got to buy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there got to be a buy-in in terms of the word of God. You can't just read, and I think the Pharisees and Sadducees, their problem was, they understood the reading of the word, but it didn't give any spirit where they thought it is. So the buy-in is believing the word. Not only do I read the word, I believe what this thing says. I believe I'm the head and not the tail.
Yeah.
I believe I'm prosperous because the word says so.
Right.
Let me tell you, I know I'm the righteousness in Christ Jesus,
right.
Even though last night I was a man.
That's right.
Because the word says I'm the righteous. Now, I'm telling you now that you got an excuse to go to sin.
Right.
But I am saying, God is saying, you got to have the commandments. I believe when you have it, you'll do more less than it. I think there'll be less opportunity for us to spend in crazy time when we literally have words that we bought in to do what God has said. It's time for body, it's time for us to believe the word. Because when I believe it, I'm headed toward loving him. Because he says you gotta have it. You gotta have my commandments. Now how many of us believe the word?
Right.
So one man the word, and I'm proud of that one hand. Amen. That we literally read the word and believe it. I'm telling you, we were doing a study in Bible study just on the resurrection. And one of the problems that the Sadducees had is that they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They don't believe that dead folks would really think after they died at death. Some of us, we need to understand when we read the word, we have to take the word for where it is. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe that Jesus is going to come back and get the church one day. Amen? He's going to rescue us, the church. Amen? And I believe he's going to come back, and I believe that because we've been in Christ, that we'll have eternal life with him. I believe in the word there. I believe in a triune God, that he's Father, Son, and he's the Holy Spirit. He's three distinct entities, but he's one. How do you believe that? Because the word says, and I truly believe.
Amen.
I believe if husband, if you love your wife, I believe your wife is a blessing. I just believe it. Why do you believe something crazy like that? Because the Bible says. I believe what the word says. I'm just one of those types of truths that if the word says,
right.
I happen to believe.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, that's complete body. Now, if the word says something and you don't believe it, the Bible says tithe. And you eye. You ain't tithing, you're eyeing. Why I call that a piece of tithe. I had members of the company. Listen to this. Keep it there. This word keep means to guard. It really means that I'm doing what the word says. So not only do I have buy-in in terms of the word, but also I literally keep the word. I'm obedient to it. So when the word says I do what it says. The very thing that y'all ask your name. Do you keep the word? Amen. But it's interesting to me, that word that I keep, that's the place where I'm blessed.
Yeah.
The place where I don't keep the word, I got chaos in my life. Amen. I'm just saying. Amen. So I think those are two things. The Bible says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that owns or has the buy-in to the word, he loves me. And then he that keepeth the word, is obedient to the word. He loves me. So in order for me to love, I have a love for God. Well, that was the proposition. How do I love God? I've got to own his word. I've got to believe it. And then number two, I've got to keep it. I got to do what he says. Ownership and obedience. Amen? So I believe that begins to talk. We go back to the original scripture, which is Matthew 22:37. I believe God began to speak to me just concerning this scripture, this first phrase says, Jesus said unto him, who is this old crazy church guy, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And I love it. Because first we said we have to make it personal. Second, that's the proposition. I think the third thing I want to talk about is this word shall. And I want you to write this down. Prophetic. We got to keep it prophetic. Amen. And what is prophetic? It means something that's going to happen in the future. So I understand now then that loving God, if it's shall, thou shalt love God, this is a prophetic thing, there must be a process to it. In other words, this doesn't happen overnight that I learned to love God. There's a process, and I think it's ongoing, that we get more and more and more in love with God through the process of us being personal. Through the process of us answering the question of how do you love God? Ownership and obedience. But I think this shall becomes very important, and it's the process, the prophetic process, that I've got to go through this process of getting to know God and reading scripture, praying. You know, it's interesting, the moment that I got saved, I could really say back then, I thought that I loved God. I honestly did. I remember that. And I probably had a false love in my heart. But I didn't really know how to love God until I looked through the process of learning scripture. Okay, this is what you want. I can't live any old kind of way and call myself a Christian.
Yeah.
My character and the nature that God is, I had to assimilate to that. And I am assimilating more and more to that. This love is a process. Am I speaking to anybody?
Yeah. Amen.
So if the most important thing God wants is relationship, and his relationship, he says to love him, we've got to go through this. We've got to go through this process. Amen?
Yeah.
Y'all doing so good. We're about to finish. I'm about to land the plane. Amen? Then the Bible says, I'm in verse number 37, Jesus says to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Then he says, something kind of peculiar. He said, you got to love God with all your heart. You got to love with all your soul. And then he says, you got to love with all your mind. So let's talk about these things. Because I thought that kind of interesting that God uses these parts, if you will, of our experience to love him. But what caught my eye was, he said, you got to love him with all the heart. Let me talk about heart first. Which is the word says cardia. We get cardiac arrest, cardia. This is the heart. But it's interesting that God used the human part to talk about a place where we define love in God. Well, the heart, the reason why God talks about the heart is because it's central. It's the most central thing in the body. The heart is in the middle. So what he's saying is it's the kind of the most central place I need for you to get to me. It's in the heart. So when he talks about the heart, he's talking about what's most central to him. How about what's most sensitive to God is how we believe. Nothing else is impossible to please God until you know how to believe. So I believe this is heart is our belief system. I think this is the place where we believe God. All that you are and all that you are is in your heart. Amen. If you're the president of the United States, that's in your heart. And if you're a garbage man, and I don't have any problem with garbage men, you make a lot of money. But that was in your heart. So whatever it is that you want to be, I think it lies in the belief system in your heart. And if you want to get something from God, God asks you to go into your heart. It's to the region where your belief system is. And God wants you to surrender that heart to him. He said something interesting. He says, you're going to love me with all your heart. So God, I want a piece of your belief system. Some of us, and I said this, I think, in Bible study, we got a strong belief system on Sundays from 11 to 2 when church is going on. But as soon as we walk out the door and the enemy meets us, what did the belief system go? With the cussing and drinking and smoking and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you where it went. You really didn't believe. Your belief system has to go with you all the time, and you got to have all belief.
Yeah.
He wants your every moment and every part of you to be believing him. We got a lot of partial belief. We believe when everything's going good. Let something go. Let you have a little problem in your life. Where you going at night? Where's that Jesus that you praising the Lord to our last week? Where's that Jesus at? Well, I'm going through something. What? It's the same Jesus. And I'm telling you, your belief system, he wants you all of it.
Yeah.
And for you to believe him all the time. I don't think your faith is strength until you go through something.
Yeah.
I don't think that a believer can ever kind of work his faith exercise muscles, if you will, until you go. When you're going through something, that's when you're feeling it. That's when God made you.
Yeah.
Somebody who's going through something.
Come on,
I got a buddy. He's going through a divorce. I'm going to say this. I got so fired up, mad with his wife or ex-wife. Oh, I thought I wanted to fight her. If I had seen her, I'd come down here later. Well, it would have gotten a little bit good, but it would have been quick. And it would hurt a little bit. Well, I was so upset with it because I walked with him through his process that he had to go through. Now, you know, he's happily married and he's got a wife that he absolutely positively loves. But this process of this divorce, I know I felt what I felt, and I'm telling you, I was some nights I couldn't sleep because of his wife. But I'm walking through. So let me tell you something what I learned through that process before I started fasting. I understand now. Divorce is like death.
Because
I was like, he's dying, man. I experienced it. Because I walked with it with a body.
Okay. Come on, Dad. Come on,
Dad. What am I saying? Man, your faith muscles literally get strengthened as you go through that. That's what the Bible says in Matthew, in that parable when Jesus said, some get 30-fold, some get 60, some get, what was that, 90 or 100? What's the difference between the three numbers? It's your faith muscle. Every time I go through something, the blessing I get out of it is greater because I've gone through it.
Yeah.
I don't know what makes me strength. Y'all are trying to go through stuff, and every time you go through, you start over. Or do you let God fill your faith? I've been through this before. Boss comes to your job and say, every job in the company we keep it. But your job, we decide to discontinue. Been there, done that, man. It's that borderline. I've been, every job when we're not even alive. We're just continuing that position. You messed it up so bad, we don't need that position anymore. This is the way I said it. Faith take you through stuff. Build up your very belief system, your heart. He wants your whole heart. If God wants your whole heart, he's going to take you through a whole bunch of stuff.
Amen.
So your heart can be strengthened. Most of us have heart attacks every day in the spirit. Your belief system just ain't strong enough. They didn't do a thing. And I say something. I want your whole heart. I want you to believe me. Trust me when you say I want you to believe me. And love me. He's going to take you through this stuff.
Amen.
Just get ready. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready. Because if I'm going to love him, my whole heart has to desire. I got to get that 90%. I want every time I go through stuff, I want to go through like Superman.
That's right.
Oh, I've been there before.
That's right. Yeah.
Watch what I do.
Amen.
And put a stick on your nose.
Amen. Come on now.
Amen. 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 This is it. Tomorrow, you got a job.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, yeah. Give me 30 days. I'm just going to be in the seat. But I'm really checking some nerves. Yeah, I don't do that. I don't do too many characters. She done experienced 2 hours. Get out of there 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what I'm telling you though is these situations, and you know, some situations, of course, we get ourselves in because the world of our, you know, I miss representation of God.
Yeah.
Misappropriating his stuff. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about that stuff, God, for righteousness' sake. Just take it through some stuff.
Amen.
Don't run my ear. I've been trusting it. He said, that's why you're here. Because you've been praying, you've been reading, you've been trusting me. I'm about to take you and make you.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't trying to hear me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm beating this. I'm going to keep going. He said, not only do I need you to love me with all your heart, I need you to love me with all your soul.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about soul for a minute. What is a soul? Well, the Greek word is psyche. Where we get our word psychology. So what this is about is your mind, your will, and your emotion. Now, I love this because some of us are emotional. The reason why we can't get blessed is because our emotions are all out of whack. Some days we feel like a nut. Some days we don't. So sometimes I can serve God with everything. Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But someday, I feel like a nut. That's your emotion. I don't even care much about your emotion in terms of how you feel. God wants you to believe him no matter where you are. So he wants you to submit even your emotion. God, why am I loving this dove? This guy ain't no good. Why am I loving him? God says that you have to surrender your emotions to me. You're going by feeling. You ain't going by what I said.
Come on.
Surrender your soul. And God don't want to beat your soul. He don't want to just that far that, you know, that you're comfortable with. God literally wants your whole soul. All your mind. He wants your whole mind. Not just on Tuesday and then on Thursday. I'm going to be godly. God wants my, he wants my mind, my soul. And he wants my emotion, my mind, and what else did I say? Emotion, mind, and my will. He wants all these all the time. So I've got to completely and always be surrendering my soul to God. God, you own my soul. I know I feel this way, God, but how do you feel about what I just went through? How should I feel? What should I be doing now?
Amen.
The first thing he's going to say, wipe them tears from your eyes. We're going back. We're going to go eat.
Right.
I just told you now. I'm going to eat some meat in Fidel. Give me some soul. So we're going in now.
Yeah.
We're going to do the same thing. What are you worried about? Yeah. Give me my whole soul. Yeah. My mind, my will. And your will is simply what we do. What is it that you do when your back is against the wall? What is your will? Your will is why you do what you do.
Yeah.
I said, submit that thing to me.
Yeah.
I want your will. And what he's going to do with your will is, he's going to transfer your will to his will.
Yeah.
So I said, wow, you ain't going to serve your will.
Come on.
I want your will.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. So your mind, your will, and your emotion, God wants of them all the time surrendered unto him. That's why I think the way I think.
Come on now.
That's why I feel the way I feel. And that's why I do what I do. Because I'm surrendered to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. So when he's talking about Jesus said unto him, and he's talking to this old crummy church leader, this Pharisee, who's asked Jesus, thought he was going to trip him up. You know, what's the greatest commandment? God laid out some stuff, and it's thinking about relations. What's the greatest commandment? What is that you want most out of me? And God said, I want you to love me. But not just love me. He said, I want you to love me. He says, with all your heart, with all your soul. And the last thing he said, I need for you to love me with all the mind. Now, I know that the soul talks about the mind. But this mind, I have to go back to Deuteronomy 6 and 5. You can turn that, you don't have to turn that, because I'm going to tell you what it is. But Deuteronomy, Jesus picked this concept up from when he talked about it back in the Old Testament. Did I say Jesus said it back in the Old Testament? Yes, because he's been God the whole time.
That's right.
The Bible says in Hebrew, the whole book, the volume of the book is about this. Oh, that's a good stuff, Chris. You can laugh about that, that's good. The whole book is about me. So, even in Deuteronomy, it was Jesus talking. Why? Because in John 1:1, he said, I am the Word. I am the Word. So, I saw that the same scripture. Why do we know that? Because y'all looking at me halfway. Look at me, because I've seen you going halfway. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 5. Jesus picked this thought up. Look what it says. Here. Amen. And it says, I need somebody to do it. To stop rattling the pages so we can get there. Amen. Okay, got quiet. Amen. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We already talked about that.
Come on now.
That's the central place. That's our belief system. And then with all my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotion. He wants that completely surrendered to him. And then he says, with all your might. See, that mind, now, what he was saying was, I want you to love me with all your might. And this might have to do with strength.
That's right.
Your ability. So every ability, you go back to Matthew 22:37. But every ability that I have, all my strength, should be dedicated. Listen to it now. To loving God. To put all my love into God. All my strength. I shouldn't be using my strength. Listen to me now. Because the Bible says all my strength, all my might. I shouldn't be using my strength. Listen, I believe when we use our strength, our ability of God, I think God replenishes us and makes us even stronger. But God wants me to put all my ability. That's all my tool set. He wants me to put that in there. Those of you, listen, who got a partial service unto God, when you're just serving God partially, part of your ability is for God, Jesus.
Come on.
We'll give the world everything.
Come on now.
And we say the world will give us money.
Come on now.
I mean, we'll give the world our time, we'll give the world because we think the turnaround is that they're going to give us money.
Come on now.
I ain't mad about money because I love it because I know it's what makes the world turn. But when the Bible says, listen, with all my ability to give to God, that should not be anything I give the world that I don't give God first.
Amen. Come on now.
I think I preached a bit quiet now because everybody in this ministry, we're a small ministry, but I'm telling you, everybody here, we give our all for the faith of God. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't get no amen, but I know y'all. Amen.
Amen.
Or even I'll talk about it. But we give God all our mind. Amen. But God wants your mind to translate into your might, your ability, your strength. He wants that. If I'm going to love God, everything I am, I'm going to give to him.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on,
man. And when we have Sunday morning, open offering. And I'm talking about money now. But we just offer ourselves a job for 2 hours or 3 hours a week.
Yeah.
Amen. We've got to become a living sacrifice. But God is requiring this. So you want to say you love God? That's your litmus test. Do you love with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind? That's when you love God. I think it's a process. I think we got ways to go. Our relationship with Him, what He said and is about to say. Well, let me not jump the gun. I got three more things I want to talk about.
Come on,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
So if we go down to the next verse, I believe God begins to talk about kind of the levels of the levels of what we need to go in terms of the relationship. Amen. So go to verse number 38. You there? He said, this is the first and the great commandment. And I'm going to write this out, supreme. The word supreme. S-U-P-R-E-M-E. Amen. Amen. But it's interesting because this is the first and great commandment. This is the ultimate, this is the supreme place where God wants us to be, to love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul. God said there's nothing more important than this commandment. Or me mandating and asking you for one thing. The most important thing is I need a relationship with you. I want exponential growth in my life. I better learn how to exponentially love God. I better take my love for God to a whole nother level. And I'm talking about this year because we're at the top of 2015 and we're getting ready to make this year. That brand that I got, God, I better be focused on that. 2015 is going to blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to get blown away. I just thank God. I'm telling you, it's relative to our understanding that it's about relationship with Him. He said, that's the first, this is Jesus' part. First and great. This is a big commandment. So we got to make it. We got to make Him first. There's some of the scriptures in the Bible that talk about making God first. Now, I want to talk about some of these scriptures. One of them is Matthew 6:33. What does it say about the Christ? Seek ye first. Kingdom of God. And His righteousness. All these things. So when I'm seeking first the kingdom, God says, when you put in first, the caboose, if you're trained, if you're the main driver, the caboose got to come out. If I seek first the kingdom of God, He says, and His righteousness. See, all that stuff that y'all are trying to run out, and that stuff you're chasing, I call them fulfillment decoys.
Amen.
They become now. They become a reality in your life. That was Matthew 6. I had one in Proverbs 3:36. Proverbs 3:36. And if that's wrong, I'm going to correct myself. Amen. 3:6. What does it say, church? Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways. Acknowledge who? Acknowledge Him. And what will He do? Why are you on the wrong path? Because you're in all your ways, you're acknowledging Him. There's some ways you think that He ain't the first person you ask for. You ask for somebody else. In all your ways. That's everything you do. Should I ask God before I go to the bathroom for permission? Could look at me start laughing? I don't know. I don't know. The Bible says in all your ways. That's in every process of life. I need to be consulting with God. How about that means I need to have a regular relationship and conversation with God? That everything I do, I'm running Him for my prayer life. Amen. I'm going to keep going. And all I will acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. How about this one? I thought about this one too, because I loved it so much. John 3:30. Go there quickly. Now I know I'll be Bible hopping, but we got a few more minutes on the broadcast. And I want you to know that all through Scripture, God is saying, put me first. And you're going to get victory.
That's right.
I think with God, the last thought we had, the last thing we trust will be the things of God. John, when I say 3:30, what does that?
He must
increase,
but I must decrease.
He got to be in a position of get victory.
Yes.
And you got to be in a position that you're going to respond.
Amen.
Let him increase and you decrease. How many, why are so many of us getting bigger and bigger? Let me say this, because I was thinking of kind of keep talking about some of my teams, there's finer places where they can matriculate the world out of here. We're riding through the parking lot. And I was looking at just the buildings and all these, you know, a lot of foreign people, you know, a lot of folks that go to this campus. I said, these people right here, bless their hearts. These are some of the smartest, wisest people. We got.
Come on now.
I don't want to hang up and take out with you. Or have their intelligence, earthly intelligence, replace the need for God.
That's right. Come on now. That's good. That's good. That's good.
Amen. What does it say? The Bible says, knowledge puffs up. Right after pride comes the fall. I know I'm getting quiet and I'm kind of spacing what I'm saying, but this story is incredible. We've got to increase. Let him increase.
That's right.
Why don't we decrease? I'm saying something to somebody.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. The last one I'm going to say, and we're going to move on.
Good.
Proverbs 16:3. Very simple. You there? Let me move just a little bit quicker because our time is fleeting. Amen. We got about 6 minutes left. What did you say, anybody?
Submit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thought shall be established.
That word thought is the same word as plan. God says, I'm trying to establish the plan I have for you. But the only way I can do that. You want to commit your works unto me.
Yeah.
You have to make me first.
Yeah.
And watch what I do with my plans I have you. This tells me if I invert that and say what's the reverse of that? If I don't commit my works unto the Lord, his plan, my plan, will never be
established.
Yeah. Once you get into the place where God has literally given you the vision, maybe we're not committed our works. Listen unto him. He has to become first. God wants to be first in your life. I didn't say that, but he wants to be first. He got to become supreme. So that's why he said this is the first and the most, the great commandment. Go back to Matthew 22 and 39. Because the first thing I talked about in terms of the process that I take this to, first, we've got to put God first. The second one is, in verse number 39, he says, and the second is like unto it, he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let me say this, because this, you write the word, the first one was supreme, the second word you're going to write down, secondary. What secondary to God is, as soon as this relationship is right, as soon as you're going to love me, God says, now, I need you to understand. Now, you can work on your other relationships.
That's right.
Let me say this. Not backwards. We try to work on these earthly relationships so we can feel inside them. My victory don't come until I fix this relationship. And I'm not talking about you praying 2 or 3 times a month. You come to church every now and again. I'm talking about you going to have to commit your life and make him first. Because God said, what happened with secondary? All the relationships will start to work. Husband and wife will start back loving each other. I can love them on crummy kids. Come on now. Come on, I'm saying something. That old nut on my job.
Amen.
I can learn how to love them when this relationship is right. You know what? But God is telling me while I'm being personal with him, knucklehead on the job, I'm trying to win. You're the only Bible that they read.
Amen.
I need you to get fired now. He just called me a trick. What can I love? God said, love me.
Come on now.
It's secondary.
Yeah.
Y'all help me, man.
Yeah.
I'm teaching my own relationship. Look around in the church. We got schisms, isms, divisions, all kinds of mess in the church now. We got 9 churches all of them side by side on this street. And probably none of us thought each other. We got some division problems. You know why? Because we don't know how to relate, because this ain't right.
Amen.
We were prayer walking going down the street the first time we were prayer walking. And God began to communicate with me. He says, I've given you an army on this street to win this street.
Thank you.
I can get an army. Catholic churches, Episcopalian.
Yes. Amen.
Come on now, I said it too. My shoulders on Episcopalian. Baptist churches, all up and down the street.
Amen.
God says, I'm one God.
Amen.
I'm the only God. I'm the only wise God.
Amen. Yes.
It don't matter what a division or a denomination, it can separate you.
Amen. Yes.
From the love.
Amen.
That can separate you. And it's just so interesting to me that God is now calling for relationship with Him so we can relate to others, so we can win the world.
Amen.
I said that and I meant that.
Amen.
With everything within my heart. Amen?
Amen.
So I think that first has to be the supreme relationship. This is the first and the great commandment. But then He said, not secondarily, He said, and it's just like unto it, He said, start to love your neighbor. Start the agape. This is unconditional love. That means I don't love you because you love me. I love you in spite of you hating me. Come on. I love you because the Bible says so.
Come on, man. That's good.
So that's secondary. Amen. By the land of land. And the last thing is in verse 40. And I want you to write this word down quickly. This is the song. Verse number 4. On these 2 commandments hang or sums up all the law and prophets. The whole book is about relationship. I'm saying something to somebody. What about learn how to first love God, listen to me, and then I can start to learn to secondarily love my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Everybody else. Before we can see, there should be some love going on. Pastor, I can't love her or him or them. What's happening to your love and your destiny? They hold your destiny. We got to start loving folks that look like us, smell like us, and talk like us.
Right.
We got to start loving some folks that God say love.
Amen.
And one of the Jesus. Hey, man, I'm turning this up.
Yeah.
Okay, how y'all looking at that? Nice, got another. Amen. So, as we close this lesson, and I heard somebody's alarm go off. I thought that was God. I was going to share it all the way. Amen. But as we close this teaching, God is speaking to each and every one.
Amen.
That's a process that God wants out of our life. Yes. How about this? He wants us. There's a relationship issue, and it's probably in your life. Father, I thank and I praise you for this word. I thank you, Lord, that you've spoken clearly to us today, Father. I thank you that your word, Father, is everything to the believer, Lord. Father, we need you loud and clear. We're going to have exponential growth. If 2015 is going to blow our minds, Father, we first, Father, have to establish the relationship we have with you, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Father, teach us. Give us more strategy, Father. Oh, Father, empower us. Open your toolkit, Father, that we may dip into it. Father, that we may have the tools necessary to love us.
Yes.
Father, we absolutely love you, Lord. We thank you that even today, Father, you've given us the process. Father, let us not leave this place and, Father, not of your process. We love you, Father. We thank you. We give your name all the praise that is in Jesus' name. That every time we say.
Amen. You've been listening to Autonomous Porch Ministries broadcast, and we thank you for tuning in. To get plugged in with more powerful messages, DVDs, books, or downloads, please see us at spmatlanta.org.
If you would like to come visit us at one of our Sunday services, we're located 2697 Tulsa Road in Decatur, Georgia. And remember, just as Jesus said, go away and sin no more.
Hallelujah. You've got a great hand for it.